Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. I'm going to share a message entitled Preventing My Fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 19. Ladies, remember tomorrow night's ladies' Bible study here, so make sure you come out at 7 o'clock, great time of study together, but even more so, it's a great time of prayer where you can get together and pray for one another and pray for the needs in the church, and I know God's going to do some great things. Be praying for our RU program that we're planning on starting on April 13th. I've already had a couple of people that I've talked to that are in need of a program like that. And we haven't really advertised or done anything, but yet Lord has been bringing people in contact with us that need to go through a program like that. And so I know God's going to do something great and miraculous and with touching people's lives and saving souls. Amen. So you keep praying as we prepare to launch out with this new ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run ye that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as in as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've given us your word. And Lord, we're just thankful for the testimony of the Apostle Paul as he challenges us, Lord, in this matter of standing for the Lord and continuing for God and not falling by the wayside. I pray that we might learn some very practical principles that he reveals to us here in this passage to help us how to be on guard and how to be motivated and excited, and Lord, how to continue on in our faith, that we would not be a stumbling block to others, or we might not stumble and fall in our own faith, Lord, but that we might be able to strive for the mastery. We might be able to move forward in a positive way, that people will see our lives and see the power of God, and many will be saved. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, God, we need you to touch their heart and draw them to the cross, that they might believe on Jesus and be able to leave here knowing they're going to heaven. So I pray for your blessing on the preaching of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Where our text verse is verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was concerned about being a castaway. He was so concerned about falling, and his desire, his drive was to put some things in his life and establish some principles by which he would live so that he would not become a castaway. He didn't want to preach to others, and all of a sudden his life is ruined. I know many preachers that I respected and looked up to over the years, and because of the fact that they did not put some things in place to guard their life and prevent themselves from falling, they fell and they're out of the ministry. I know many, many Christians. I've watched over the 35 years of being in ministry and watched people who once were on fire for God, but they didn't put some guidelines, some guards up, if you will, establish some principles in their life, and they fall by the wayside. And Paul's just simply saying this. He wanted to be able to preach to others, but he did not want to come to a place where he himself was a castaway, so preventing my fall. I love studying the life of the Apostle Paul. He was someone who was completely sold out for God. I mean, you talk about an intense individual. The Apostle Paul was an intense individual. Before his salvation, he was committed to his religion, which involved persecuting Christians. And I'll tell you what, he did not hesitate to go after the Christian. He had a zeal, but it wasn't a godly zeal. He had a desire to fulfill the requirements, or I should say the instructions of those who had the authority over him. And listen, he didn't hold anything back. He completely gave it his all. Well, when he got saved, the same situation developed in his life. After his salvation, he became a mighty mouthpiece for God. And I'm excited about the fact that people are willing to speak up for the Lord. I remember years ago, I did a training thing, a lesson on how to lead people to Christ. And the first thing I said is open up your mouth and say something. And you can't lead anybody to the Lord if you're going to walk around closed mouth. Amen. You can't be lockjawed. You got to be able to speak up and say something. Well, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he became a mighty mouthpiece for God. He was an instrument of salvation to many. And I'm thankful for this passage. Oftentimes he says in this passage that he desired that many would be saved. He never says that he'll be able to win them all to the Lord, but he desired that many would be saved. And I just know this, a lot of times people won't be a witness, there won't be a testimony, because they say, I just can't lead people to the Lord. I've tried to lead someone to Christ, and I haven't ever led anybody to the Lord, so I can't do it. Well, you're not going to have any opportunity to lead someone to Christ unless you get involved with it, amen? And so Paul was willing to be an instrument of salvation to many. He was a mighty weapon in the hand of God against wickedness and immorality. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to use us as a mighty weapon, as it were, in the Lord's army to stand against wickedness and immorality. But I know this, that in the battle, there are always opportunities to fall. So God help me prevent my falling. And we'll need the Lord to do something special in our lives. Paul not only believed God for great things, but he accomplished great works for God's glory. We see Paul gives us a little bit of insight into his conscience in verse 22. He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And you see the conscience of Paul, his heart drive, if you will. His desire was that he was willing to do whatever he had to do just so that he might be able to get some people saved. And so we see some insight into his conscience. We also see that he provides some insight into his motivation. In verse 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And so Paul he was motivated by the reality that, wait a minute, there is a reward that he was going to be able to receive one day and enjoy, and he wanted to have a reward that was not something that was corrupt and wicked that faded away, but rather he wanted to receive a reward that was incorruptible and eternal in heaven. So we see Paul's motivation, we see his conscience. However, we also see his fear. In verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring in subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul feared that there would come a point in his life where he would stumble and fall and no longer be effective for Christ. And so we want to look at a few principles in this passage to help us to understand how we can prevent our fall. You know, Proverbs says a righteous man will fall seven times, but he'll get up again. And they've often said it's not about how many times you get in, you fall, but it's a matter of how many times you get up. And I heard an old story years ago. It said it's not about so much about the fight that the dog is in, but how much fight does the dog have in him? And sometimes we think, well, the fight is too big. Well, how much fight do you have in you? I mean, Paul was a dog that was full of fight. Amen. He didn't give up. He didn't lay down. He didn't roll over. He just kept on preaching the word of God. And he said, I'm concerned. I'm fearful that one day I may be a castaway. And it's not my desire to preach the word of God to others and then be a castaway. I don't want to come to the end of my life and to be put on the shelf and thrown by the wayside because of the fact I didn't continue on for the Lord. And I often think, God, help me to be strong. Help me to be faithful. God, help me to know how that I can live my life to be prevented from falling by the wayside. I don't want to be a statistic. Amen. I don't want to be any statistic. I want to be a statistic that says, man, he kept on going for God, no matter whatever happened to him. I think of old Bobby Robinson, went home to be with the Lord. If there's anybody that ever went, who kept on going for God, it was Bobby Robinson. I'll tell you. His testimony was in his early 20s, he became the pastor of Gospel Lake Baptist Church. I think it was around 26, 27 years old, he had a heart attack. He's in the hospital recovering from the heart attack, and there is people plotting in the church how to get rid of him. Now, I'll tell you, it's a sad state of affairs. Sad state of affairs. He came out of that hospital, went back pastoring that church. Mighty church, Gospel Lake Baptist Church. The church I started in 1984, I named it after his church. I named it Gospel Lake Baptist Church. I mean, that man impacted my life. And you think of the years that he spent preaching the word of God through good times, through bad times, through trials, through sickness, but he never gave up. And he's in glory today. Praise be God. I want to be like somebody like that when I get to the end of my life. I might be old and decrepit, but I want to keep on going for God. Amen. So Paul said, amen, that'll preach, old and decrepit. Amen. Ed heard that one. Praise the Lord. Old and decrepit. So what are some things that we can establish? What are some things that we can put in our life? Notice, first of all, need to be striving for the reward. In verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Striving for the reward. First of all, it's a universal desire. Universal desire. I think that is becoming less and less significant in American culture, because I see less and less people having a universal drive wanting to get into the race or strive to get the reward. I'm amazed how our young people are willing just to sit back and comfortable with the fact, oh, well, if we win, we don't. We win. If we don't win, we don't win. You know, it doesn't really matter. There's no striving to get the reward. And I don't know about you, I don't like losing, I like winning. And there's never a time where I rejoice and say, oh, I'm so glad I lost, at least I participated. If I lose, I'm gonna be in a bad mood for a while, amen? So just stay away from me. But there is, Paul is identifying the universal drive or striving that people have in this matter of winning, knowing that, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He's saying everybody's in the race to get the prize. And so we ought to be striving to run to get the prize. And if you lose sight of the reality that you're in the race, you won't care about whether you're running or not. Look over in Romans chapter 2. We're going to come back to this passage. But in Romans chapter 2, I want to zero in on that mindset that everybody's in some type of a race. Everybody's striving for something. It is a universal drive. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul says, who will render to every man according to his deeds? You're striving for something. And God's going to reward you according to your deeds. In verse 7, to them who by patience continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respecter of persons with God. What is he saying? That every person is striving for something. Every person is striving for some type of reward or recognition. So what you need to do is identify, what is it you're striving for? What is it that you're living for? What is the significant thing that is in your life that consumes your energy, your efforts, your attention, your involvement, and that is what you're striving to achieve in your life? Realize this, it's a universal drive. Everybody is going after something. Now, they may be going after nothing. That's what they're going after. That's what they're going to get is nothing. Amen? But it is a universal drive. Every person is in the race. Every person has a part of it, of what God is doing in this world, and either for God or against God, and you're going to receive the reward according to what you're striving for. And so if I have a focus on the fact that I want to glorify God, I want to bring others to Christ, I want to be a testimony of the grace of God, it will help me to stay focused to where I won't stumble and fall and become a castaway. Because I know this, that if I'm going to be striving for a reward, I want the reward that's coming from God, that's an incorruptible crown. Notice it was not only were they striving universal drive, but there was an unprofitable reward. He says, every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. He said, there is a difference for what they're striving for. They're going after something that's going to fade and pass away, but Paul was going for something that was going to last for all eternity. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 8 through 11, Paul says this. He says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Then he goes on and says this, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. But he says, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Paul is outlining for us, there's two different aspects of the reward you're going to get. It's even going to be a reward that is profitable because it's based on you maintaining good works. Or it's going to be unprofitable because it is based upon things that are foolish and are life-changing and are heresy in reference to the doctrines of the faith. And he says, be assured of this, that the person who takes that position is a subverter, and he is a sinner, and he is condemned. So unprofitable reward. And I don't want to fall into that trap and lose the rewards that are incorruptible. I want to be able to look at what God has for us that is good and is profitable rather than that which is unprofitable. So striving for the reward, it's a universal drive. You're going after something. But it's also an unprofitable, there is an unprofitable reward, but there also is an uncompromising goal. He says, they strive for an incorruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, an uncompromising goal. We cannot give up on what we believe and who we are as Christians because it's 2018. You just can't do it. You want to be able to receive a reward that is profitable in your life in this world, receive a reward that is profitable
profitable and uncompromising goal for the future, then you got to stand for God, and you cannot compromise who you are and what you believe. And so an uncompromising goal. Why? Because you'll receive a crown. You'll receive a reward. You'll receive a crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 19, Paul says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And so Paul was striving for the fact that he would desire that there would be many people who would come to faith in Christ, because he acknowledged the fact that those he brought to Christ was his reward. They were his crown of rejoicing. They were the ones that would connect with the Savior and one day be in the presence of God in heaven. And that's what he was looking forward to, being with them in glory in the presence of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, a crown of rejoicing. I think many times Christians are just grumpy because of the fact you're not connected with what God's interested in. You're going after things that are not profitable for God or profitable in other people's lives. And as a result of it, there's no rejoicing. There's no excitement. You know, it's been interesting. I just know this. God always blesses soul winning. Always blesses soul winning. And I've just seen God recently doing some major things, significant things, and bringing people into our church. We're going out soul winning. We're knocking in doors. And you may not be leading somebody to the Lord. Matter of fact, you might not even talk to anybody yesterday because it was cold out. If I was in my house, I wouldn't open the door to you. Amen. I'd throw some gloves out the window to you, maybe. But anyway, we may not have talked to anybody, but God brought visitors in the church this morning, and one of those fellows is not saved. I was able to talk to him. He didn't get saved, but praise God, I was able to talk to him, and he said he's coming back. I'm just saying this. What are you striving for? What are you going after? I'm going to tell you, a church that's happy and a believer that's happy are people who are rewarded by God because they're concerned about sharing their faith in Jesus Christ with others. He said, "You're my crown of rejoicing." When was the last time you led somebody to Christ? When was the last time you were filled with excitement because somebody got saved? I'll tell you, I'll never forget the first person I ever led to Christ. I was in Bible college, and a friend of mine, we were working on the bus together, and it was at the end of the service. We're at the back of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and my friend came over and told me, he said, "Mike, you see that little boy over there?" Now I'm talking about a little kid. He wasn't a big kid at all. He said, "He wants to know how to be saved. Can you go lead him to the Lord?" And I started going like this. I said, "Are you sure you want me to do it?" "No, you go over there. You go over and lead him to the Lord." And I thought, man, I don't want to mess this up. This kid's whole eternity depends on whether I get it right or not. I mean, I was a nervous wreck. I went over and I sat down with that little boy. I went through the Word of God and showed him how to be saved. And he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. And he jumped up out of that seat and went running across the back aisle of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan, crying, running and shouting to his mommy, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, that man saved me." And I'll tell you what, God filled me with joy in my heart. And I've never got over the reality that he is my joy, my crown of rejoicing. When was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? You say, "Well, I don't understand why I need to do that." Because you're striving for a reward. What reward are you going to get? Paul says, "You're my crown. You're my crown of rejoicing." Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's a crown of righteousness. You know, we strive and we work and we try to live for the glory of God. And yet, we still allow sin to consume our thought process. We often fall into sin. But I'm thankful that the promise of God, if we strive for the reward that's an incorruptible crown, there's a crown of righteousness that we'll be able to enjoy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. A crown of righteousness. You know, the amazing thing is we are righteous because Christ has taken our sin and he has imputed to us his righteousness. The striving aspect of living our life that we won't fall by the wayside is to live out the righteousness that God has imputed to us. But the reality is when we get into the presence of God, we'll be completely holy and righteous as he is, because we'll see him as he is. And what a crown that'll be. What an experience that'll be to be able to receive our crown of righteousness, and we're able to cast that crown at the feet of Jesus in worship and praise of who he is. There's a crown of life in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12, a crown of life that God will give to us. And if I get over to James, I'll be all right. Keep running past it, amen? You ever do that when you're flipping through your Bible? I don't know. My fingers get sticking on there, and it just keeps on going. James chapter 1 and verse 12. No wonder I'm looking at the wrong page. There we go. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And James didn't say we won't have two temptations. He said you're blessed if you endure temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I'm glad that this world is not my home. I'm glad I'm just passing through. I'm glad when I talk about life that I have is not in regards to life here. It is about life in eternity. I'm looking for life that's going to be in heaven, and God's going to give me a crown of life, and I just need to continue on and ask for God's grace and God's mercy and God's strength that I might strive for the reward of enjoying that crown of life when I get the presence of God. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, and there is a crown of glory. You know, the glory that we receive is Christ. He gets all the glory. We don't get any glory in it. But we are able to receive Christ. And it says in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And I often think about that. The glory that we're going to receive is the presence of God. I thought about that, and I thought, when we get in the presence of Jesus, he is the crown of glory. He is the one that receives all the glory. He never passes away or fades away, and in all of eternity, we will be in his presence. I'm just saying this. I'm striving for something more than what this world has to offer. You say, why are you doing it? Because everybody's striving for something. I might as well strive to be with God, amen? I want to be profitable. I want to experience profitable. I want to be experiencing something that is successful. I don't want to live a life that is compromising the goal that God has, the reward that he has for me. So Paul says this, we're striving for the reward. He said, I got to keep at it. I can't stop. You know, a person that's a runner, you know, they don't win the race because they keep looking back at the person coming up on them. They win the race because they keep their eyes on the goal. They win the race because they keep pressing forward. Listen, that finish line may be a long ways off for them to get there, but they get there because they never take their eyes off the prize. And we can't take our eyes off the prize that God has for us. And we can't take our eyes off the life that God wants us to fulfill. If we take our eyes off of the reward and off the goal for one moment, the devil will bring something to get our attention and draw us away from what God wants to accomplish in our life. You know, when you hook up a horse to a buggy, you put blinders on the horse, and you put them on the horse so they have blinders so that they're just looking ahead. It creates tunnel vision. They can't see anything that's going on the side over here. You go out to Lancaster and you see those horses pulling those carriages. They don't know whether you're alongside of them. They don't know what's going on over here or over there. Why? Because they have them focused on where they're going. And folks, let me tell you this. If you want to strive for the reward, you've got to develop tunnel vision for God. You can't let anything distract you from striving to get that reward. And so Paul says, I don't want to fall by the wayside. I need to keep focused on the reward. Well, number two, we see this, and I kind of blurred it over into the next point. We need to be stable in that focus. Therefore, so run, not as a certainty, uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And I thought of this, therefore so run, he says. What does that mean? I'm in the race. You're in the race, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And so you're in the race. He said, therefore, so run. Now, I can tell you this right now. I can be as focused as you want, but you'll never see me win any Olympics. I'm liable to drop dead just preparing for the Olympics. Amen. I mean, just saying it, my nose started running. Stable in the focus. I'm in the race. God saved me. He put me in Christ. He's given me a new life. I'm already there. I might as well make the best of it. Amen. I'm afraid so many times what we do is we get discontent with the race that God has put us in. When the reality is, why don't we just stay focused that this is what God wants you to do and what God wants you to accomplish. I can't get focused on anything else in my life as a preacher, because if I do, I'm liable to run off and go after it. This is the race God has given me, to pastor and preach the word of God, and I'm in the race. I want to stay in the race. I want to stay focused on what it requires to do to complete the race. Amen. I'm in the race. I'm confident in the race. Notice he says, not with uncertainty. I mean, you need to determine what the will of God is for your life and grab a hold of it and don't let go. I'm just as confident that the fact is that God's called me to be the pastor of Ocean County Baptist Church, and the reality of me standing here is enough to pursue the idea that I'm confident in the race that God has given me. I'm not running around looking for other options. I'm not running around trying to figure out what other jobs I can do. I just know this. I need to be confident in what God has equipped me and called me and prepared me to do. And don't allow the devil to take you on rabbit trails going after everything else. Dr. Malone always used to tell us, men, you stay in the middle of the road. Don't go running off on rabbit trails. You stay focused in what it is God's called you to do, and you won't fall by the wayside. See, Paul says this, I'm confident in the race that God has put me in, and I'm all in the race. Why? Because he said I'm productive in the race. He says here in verse 26, not as one that beateth the air. He is productive in the, you know, a boxer. I like watching boxing. And I know we were looking at something, I don't know what we were looking at, and it was this big fight, you know, some movie or something. And I don't know what it was, but anyway, huh? Quiet Man. Oh, that's what it was. We were watching an old movie, Quiet Man, with John Wayne. Yeah. these guys, of course, they have that big fight scene and all that and the other. And she was like, I just don't get it with you men. What is the big deal? What is the interest of this big brawl fighting all the time? I said, man, it's fun. It's great. I mean, you get punched in the eye, you punch somebody else in the eye, your lip starts bleeding. I mean, it's great. You get done and you're all sore and bruised up. I mean, it's wonderful. That's what guys do. I know we're strange. I know we're whacked out in our head sometimes. But wait a minute. You can't enjoy the fight if you walk around beating the air. You're not going to accomplish anything beating the air. You got to get in the fight. You need to face the opponent. And yeah, he may knock you in the head, but that's all right. You can knock him in the head. Amen. Be productive in the race. What is it that God wants you to do and accomplish? Dave likes boxing. I'll get him up here and let him show you a few moves. Amen. productive in the race. What is it that you're being able to accomplish? I don't know. I don't want to run around spinning my wheels all the time. I just don't want to be living my life running in circles in some rat cage or something. What is it that God wants me to do? I look at my life and I say, okay, God, I often have goals for myself, goals for the church. And are we accomplishing those goals? Are we being productive as a church? Am I being productive as a Christian? And all the times I look at myself and say, wait a minute, what is God revealing to me? What is God doing and giving me opportunities to talk to others? Am I leading people to the Lord? I'm constantly evaluating and assessing, am I being productive? Because I don't want to live my life and be on this earth for 75, 80, 260 years, whatever. And look at the end of my, get the end of my life and I look at it and say, what did you accomplish? Well, I played some video games. Man, I got to level 263,000. No. Need to get up and get involved and live your Christian life in a positive way where you see your life being productive for God. Why? Because if you're living a productive life, you will not be discontent with the life that God has given you. And I've watched over the years, people who don't do anything for the Lord have a tendency to fall by the wayside much quicker than those that are on fire and working for God. Because of the fact they become dissatisfied and discontent with their life and discontent with their church, whatever it may be, and they just kind of flounder and run around and try to find something else. Get productive for God. Stable. You need to be stable in your focus. Why? Paul says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to fall by the wayside. So strive for the reward. Stable in the focus. And then the last thought is in verse 27, serious in my reasoning, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Serious in my reasoning. Notice, first of all, self-control. He said, I bring my body under subjection. It does no good to excuse wrong living by saying, well, you just have to understand, I just have a problem in that area. If you got a problem in that area, then you need to get yourself strengthened up in the Lord and get it straightened out. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, no, where am I at? 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, Paul says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that is now is, and of that which is to come. You know, there was a, down by me on Route 9, there's a little place there. They open up a new gym down there. It's a little small building. And I get tickled. I come by there around 5:30, 6 in the morning when I'm getting ready to come over here. You can't see in the building because the windows are all steamed up. Everybody's in there sweating it out, amen. And I thought to myself, boy, that's some place I want to go into. That place is full of everybody's sweat. And then the other thing is, as I drive by, you got to watch out because the parking lot is packed with people. They're trying to get in and out of there coming out on Route 9, which is a miracle of God if you get on Route 9 to begin with. And then you got all these people shuffling, trying to get out of this little parking lot and get on the Route 9 to go ahead and get to work. And I thought to myself the other day, these people are nuts. They are nuts. And I thought to myself, how many Christians will get themselves caught up in that? And I'm not against working out. I'll sit and watch you all day. I'm for healthy eating. You eat it healthy and I'll eat my food, amen. I'm for all that stuff. But it's amazing to me how dedicated, how self-controlled, how regulated they'll be in their life to do something that is bodily exercise, which profits very little. Because the reality is, you're going to die someday. I don't care how healthy you are. I don't care how many pounds you can pick up. You're going to drop dead one day. I just want to encourage you tonight. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Let me just ask a simple question. Why is it that we can't have that same intensity in spiritual exercise? See, Paul said this, I know this, I've got to exercise myself spiritually, because if I don't exercise myself spiritually through self-control, controlling the desires of this body, controlling the mind that God has given me, living my life to the glory of God, then I'm going to end up being a castaway. Well, let me ask you to do this. Just do this. If you go to the gym, put as much time and intensity in reading and studying the Word of God and sharing the Word with other people as you do when you go to the gym. I'm not against going to the gym. Go for it. Amen. I'll drive by in the morning and watch you if the windows are not fogged up. So self-control. You say, how can I prevent my falling? Get yourself under control. Number two, or letter B, others-oriented. He says, I bring my body into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others. See, Paul was focused on other people. He knew they needed the gospel. He knew that they needed to hear about the Word of God. And he was focused his life on reaching others. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 8, Paul says, unto me, who am least of the least, I'm sorry, who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Paul said this, I must preach to others of the mystery, the unsearchable riches of Christ, which was a mystery in God, was hid in God. And he said, wait a minute, I don't want to fall by the wayside, so I got to keep preaching to others. I got to keep revealing who Christ is to others. And I found this, if you focus on others, it's hard to develop a selfish spirit in yourself. You know, I have a lesson I did years ago on soul winning. One of my points is, why should you be a soul winner? Because it overcomes selfishness. Because you can't say I and me all the time if you're a soul winner, because your life is consumed with reaching out to other people, them, they, you. And so you get your eyes off yourself. And so Paul was focused. He was oriented on others. And he understood that his life was to be a testimony. He did not want to be a stumbling block. And if you're involved in other people's lives, you're going to strive to live your life not to become a stumbling block to others. And if you're not a stumbling block to someone else, you're certainly not becoming a castaway. So self-control, others-oriented, and then integrity needed. And he said, myself should be a castaway. He needed the integrity of God. Here's some verses for you. You can write them down. You can look them up later. Psalm 25, 21. Psalm 26:1, Proverbs 11:3, Proverbs 20:7 all speak about the rewards and the growth aspect of the person who is a person of integrity. And Paul understood the importance of being a man of integrity, because if you allow yourself to lose the integrity of God in your life, it is an easy position to fall by the wayside and become a castaway. So preventing my fall, strive for the reward. Go after the prize that God has for us. And if you keep living that way and striving for that all of your life, you won't be distracted by all this sinful lust and everything else that's out here. Not only strive for the reward, but stay stable in your focus. What is it that God wants you to do? This one thing the Lord wants you to do, stay focused and do everything that you can to fulfill that one focus, and then be serious in your reasoning. Think it through. How can I keep myself under control? How can I be a blessing to others? How can I literally be a person of integrity that when I say this is what I am, that is what I am? And, people need to know that what you say you are is, in fact, what you are. You're not one thing in church and something else when you leave the church. You're exactly the same. You say, well, why is that necessary? Because you don't want to fall. Because you come in and put on a pretense and have a spirit of hypocrisy in the church, and you get out and you go out in the world, people know that. They pick up on that. They know who you are. And the next thing you know, the devil will bring somebody to entice you to fall by the wayside. So Paul helps us to understand how to prevent our fall. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it is better any day of the week to walk with God than it is to walk in the world. It is. I wouldn't trade my life for all the tea in China, as they say. And I don't even know if China has tea. Amen. There is nothing that somebody can do to entice me, to pull me away from what I know the will of God is, the call of God in my life. I don't want to become a statistic of falling by the wayside. So, Lord, help me. Help me prevent myself from falling by following the example of the Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you. What a great passage. I'm always moved by it because Paul does not boast about leading everybody to Christ, but he certainly reveals and unveils for us the drive of his heart to do whatever he can just to get some people saved. Lord, we're mindful of the fact that we can't lead everybody to the Lord and we can't impact everybody's life, but certainly we could try. And we could keep at it. And Lord, we can become a positive tool in the hands of God rather than becoming a statistic in the world of another Christian that's fallen by the wayside. So God, help us. Lord, we need your help tonight. Send your Holy Spirit upon us. Bring conviction on us. Strengthen us, Lord, in thy spirit. And Lord, may people see Jesus in us. And may the world around us be changed because of that great testimony. I pray, Lord, there's somebody not saved here. Touch them. May they come and receive Christ, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay.